Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuah Stuff Yud Daled. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we were involved in trying to figure out authorship of a particular Tanaic source. This Tanaic source was found at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis in a frame. Namely, the source that began approximately a quarter of the way up from the bottom. The beginning with the pasuk v'shochat es hasor hachatos. In that source, it was implied that if the kohanim would not have received kapora through the par of the kohen gadol, the kohanim would have had no other source of kapora, of atonement. That implies that the kohanim have no association with the sor hamishtaleach. That particular idea would have conformed to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Kohanim do have atonement from the Soyer HaMashiach, from the sent away goat ceremony. Therefore, the question is, if it's not Rabbi Yehuda, then who is it? So Rabbo suggested that it was Rabbi Shimon. That said, Kohanim have no kapora from the Soyer HaMashiach. Abaye, on the other hand, has a different approach. He says that you can suggest that the source is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and when the source implies that the Kohanim, if not for their kapora from the par, their kapora with the par of the Kohen Gadol, that they would have had no kapora, the suggestion is, according to Abaye, that they would have had no kapora in the realm of Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav. But as far as Shar Averis are concerned, there is no question, according to Abai's approach, that the Kohanim would have Kapora through the Sor HaMishtaleach. And if you present it that way, then the above source could be according to Rabbi Yehuda as well. So it is with this point that we proceed with our Shiur today. Therefore, we are beginning the Gemara several lines from the very end of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. You'll notice Abaye has a double underline, and with that we begin four lines from the very end, at the end of the line. Abaye Omar Afilu Temo Rabbi Yehuda. We can suggest, according to Abaye, that the source above, the framed section above, could conform to Rabbi Yehuda as well. Hachi Komar, and the reading of that source would be thusly. What we've done is we've included a frame around this rereading of Abaye. As we do in our marking system, we treat the rereadings of Tanaic sources as if they were Tanaic sources, and hence they are framed off. And in addition to that, you'll notice that we have a length marker. To the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll see Abaye is circled with a vertical dashed line that continues to the top of Yud Dalid Omid Aleph, also on the left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating the length of Abaye's comment. In other words, Abaye and his comment regarding the rereading of the source. So it goes as follows. Hochi ko'amar. Thusly, we should understand the source above. Me'ato ein lem kapora betumas mikdash v'kadoshav. This is his innovation. That if you say that he has, that the kohanim do not join on the par kohen gadol, then it would come out that they, after all, the pasuk says, as we saw in the source above, it says asher loy, which implies it belongs to the kohen gadol exclusively, and to the exclusion of even other kohanim. By the way, the pickup point of this source is indicated with a squiggled arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, and if you notice above, there's also a squiggled arrow indicating the point at which this is picking up from. So at that point in the source, we had suggested that since the pasuk says asher lo in the context of the par kohen gadol, asher lo meaning that belongs to him in the singular, to the kohen gadol, it would seem that the kohanim have no kapora in that. So are we to say, as Abaye says, that they would have no kapara within the realm of Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav? So Kishu Omer, when it says Yechaper Al HaKohanim, Motzinu Sheyesh Lahem Kapara B'Shar Averos, the pasuk does say that the Kohanim receive atonement. Therefore, we find that they have kapara in other areas. And just like we find that they have atonement in other areas of violation, likewise, they would have atonement in this area of Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav, where one is in violation of entering the Beis HaMikdash or eating korbanos in a state of impurity. So there we see that they do have kapara. B'mahim is kaprim. And the Gemara, we are now looking at the very top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Through what do they have their kapara? Mutav. She is kapru b'poroi shel aroin. It would be most fitting that they receive their atonement through the par of Aharon, through the cow offering that the Kohen Gadol brings. Aharon being a reference to the Kohen Gadol. Sherei huter michlolo etzel beso. We find that the par of Aharon is... there's already a breach in the restriction insofar as that it atones for the rest of his own family. So once it's hutor michlolo, there's a little bit of a breach, so to speak, in what we thought was a restriction to his family, to himself, and now we see that his family is included. Therefore, we can expand that opening, so to speak, and include even all of the kohanim. That's called hutor michlolo. The al yiskapru b'soyer hanaseh b'fnim. But as far as the kapora for the rest of the kohanim through for the area of Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav, and for them to receive that through the internal goat offering of Yom Kippur, that's unlikely. Sharei lo huter michlalo. We don't find any openings, any breaches with regard to the Soyer Hanaseh Bifnim. The im nafshach lomer, and if what we've said till now is insufficient, I have something else to add. Harehu omer beis aron borchu es Hashem v'chulei. The Gemara now asks, what is meant by that last comment of the source? My im nafshach lomer. What would appear to be weak with what was said before that I need to have this new posuk, the chitema? If you say Besoksiv, the pasuk originally said the chiper ba'ado va'ad beso, the pasuk that the cow offering the par kohen gadol, the par of the kohen gadol of Yom Kippur, atones for himself and for beso. Beso would imply his own family and not the rest of the kohanim. So to that we respond kulon kruyin beso. All kohanim fall under the category of beso. Shenemar beis aroin baruch hu es Hashem. Beis HaLevi, Baruch Hu Es Hashem, Yirei Hashem, Baruch Hu Es Hashem. We see from the expression Beis Aharon that all of the Kohanim are called Beisoi, and therefore they are all included in the Kapara afforded by the Par Kohen Gadol. At this point in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form, the crown marking. You can see on the outside margin the Mivneh, the structural note. This crown is featured. She'elois levare ma'ap sukim be'emes boim lelameid. We have referred on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis to a couple of sukim in the course of our limud of the brisa at the lower quarter of the page. The brisa beginning with the posuk in Vayikra Tezayin posuk as well. V'shochad es soyer hachatos. At this point, the Gemara wants to look back at that source and analyze the real purpose of those psukim and what they teach. In order to make it easier to find where these respective quotes are coming from, we've included marks to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. In this case, we have an arrow point indicating Yud Gimel Amud Beis. That would mean that you look back at Yud Gimel Amud Beis and find a parallel arrow on the to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, and it's from that point that this quote is going to come. So we read the Gemara, V'hai Asher La'om, L'hochi Hu De'oso. Does it come to imply that the Kohanim do not get Kapora through the Soyer Hachatos, through the goat offering? Hai Miboyalei. It is needed for something else. De ka'omar achmono mi de am lehevei. that the monies used to purchase the goat offering of Yom Kippur shall come from the public funds. So the Gemara answers, as far as that point is concerned, the source of funding for the goat offering, Hahu, that point is Mi'u Me'eis Adas Bnei Israel Nafka. It is learned out from another pasuk. So the Asher La'om is available to exclude the Kohanim from receiving atonement through the goat offering of Yom Kippur. The Gemara asks, V'hai Asher Lo'i Lo'ochi Hu Da'asa. Is the Asher Lo Pasuk really implying that the other Kohanim would not get Kapora through the par, and as a result of that approach I need another Pasuk, the Pasuk indicating that says Yechaper ala Kohanim, to include the Kohanim? Hi, mi boyale lechnesanyo. I need the Asher Loi for another role, and that will be featured in the upcoming Tanaic source. We've already started a long question, and you can note that by the length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, where you see a kuf in a little crown form with a vertical dashed line. So the question is, once again, Asher Lo, is it really here to exclude the other Kohanim from Kapora in the par? Do I not need it for the following Brisa, Lichadisanya? Misheloi hu mevi veino mevi mishel tzibor. When the Kohen Gadol brings the par, he brings it through funds that come from his own pocket. He pays for it from his own monies and not from public funds. Yocho lo yovi mishel tzibor she'en tzibor miskaprim bo. Avo yovi mishel echov hakohenim she'echov hakohenim miskaprim bo. Maybe. True, I don't bring it from public funds because they, the public, do not receive atonement through it, through the par. However, I can use funds, or the Kohen Gadol is entitled to make a collection from the other Kohanim who do receive atonement through the par. Tamaloma asher lo. Therefore, the Pasuk comes and says, no, it says from his own pocket. Yochol lo yovi v'mhevi kosher. Maybe it can be suggested that he doesn't outright go and make a collection, but if he did make a collection, it would be okay. Tamad lomar shuv. There's another time it says in the pasuk asher loi hakosav shino alav le'akev. The pasuk repeats itself for the purpose of emphasizing that it is a binding condition that it must come from his own funds. After all said and done, we see that the role of asher lo is to dictate the source of funding for the par, and not as was suggested above, or as we thought earlier, that it has this exclusionary note to it with regard to who receives atonement through it. At this point, therefore, the Gemara has to reinterpret or re-explain what the intent of the original source was. Tono hochi kokashule. The issue that was preoccupying the Tana originally was as follows. My Shna, and notice before we go further that we have a few lines to read in order to develop this particular response. And we've shown that through the long answer marking, the teretz with the tuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara and the vertical dashed line. So the Gemara explains, Tana hochi kokashile, my Shna b'de'am d'lo mechaper. What is it about the so'ir, the goat offering of Yom Kippur, that the kohanim don't receive kapora? The lo kochasri be mamona, dechsiv asher la'om. The kohanim don't expend any monies on it, and therefore it stands to reason that they don't get kapora through the so'ir of the people, the goat offering of Yom Kippur. Nami lo kochasri be mamona. Through the par of the Kohen Gadol also, the rest of the Kohanim, are not spending any money, and therefore logic would say that likewise they do not receive kapora through the Kohen Gadol's par, through the Kohen Gadol's cow offering. Vikomar, and therefore the source eventually came on to say, kulon kuyun beso. All of the kehanim fall under the title besos. Therefore, when the pasuk says v'chiper be'ad aharon v'ad beso, that this, when the pasuk says u'ba'ad beso, it would include the kehanim as well. Just for the sake of accuracy, we want to mention that the pasuk says, in the, using the word besos, v'chiper ba'adoi uva'ad beso, and the expression ba'ado is a reference to Aaron the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara continues, Bishlamo the Rebbe Shimon that said, Bishlamo's things work out best according to Rebbe Shimon that said the Kehanim are not included on the Sora Meshtaleach, on the sent away goat ceremony. Dichtiv Trei Viduyim Vidam Hapar. There are a total of three episodes. There are two confessions and there is a sprinkling of the blood of the par. Chad Keneged Soyer Hanasa Bifnim. One of these serves as atonement for the Kehanim for that which the Soyer Hanasa Bifnim did for the rest of the people. And that's the case of Yesh Yediyah B'Tchila V'Ein Yediyah B'Soif. And we've indicated that with our shorthand Yesh Ein. That's describing a situation which we learned about extensively in previous sukkis, where the offender had knowledge prior to his entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, but once he entered and forgot that he had been Tomei, he never recalled afterwards that he had been Tomei. So for the rest of the people, the Sor Hanase Bifnim offers atonement, and Keneged that, opposite that, or corresponding to that, with regard to the Kehanim, you have one of these three elements that we just mentioned before. You have the two confessions and the one and the blood sprinkling. Continuing, v'chad, and one of the other three elements associated with the par is keneged soyer hanase b'chutz. Will serve to atone for the Kehanim that which the external goat offering accomplishes for the rest of the people, and that's the situation of Ein Yediyah B'Tchila V'Yesh Yediyah B'Sof. That's what we call with our shorthand, and we've written it in, the Ein Yesh scenario. The Chad, and the third element of the Par, is Keneged Soyer HaMishtaleach. It affords atonement for the Kehanim that which the sent away goat atones for the rest of the people. And that's the case of Shar Averois. Elul Rebuda Trei Viduyin V'Dama Par Lomali Bechad Vidui V'Domo Sagya. According to Rebuda, that the Kehanim are included in the Soyer HaMishtaleach. So there are only two things that the Kehanim need atonement for that they don't share with the rest of Klal Yisrael, namely the cases of Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav, of we saw above, the Yesh Ein scenario which the Soyer Hanasa Bifnim accomplishes, and the Ein Yesh scenario which the Soyer Hanasa Bechutz accomplishes. What do I need the third par element for, according to Rabbi Huda? So the Gemara answers, Echad loy fi echad lebesoy, kidetona debei Rabbi Shmuel. In addition to the Kohen Gadol himself, there's a separate need, an extra need for atonement for the rest of his household. As is taught by the Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, the following source, Kachi midas hadin noheges. Thusly, logic would tell you, Mutov Yovoi Zakai V'Yechaper Al HaChayov. It's better for someone who has already achieved atonement, who's now cleansed, so to speak, to come and atone for those who are still guilty. V'Al Yovoi Chayov V'Yechaper Al HaChayov, and not have someone who is guilt is full of guilt and attempt to atone for others that are still guilty. The Rashi completes the picture at the end of the Rashi commentary on this perek, he says, Yovo zakai v'chaper l'chayov l'fikoch misvada vidui rishon olov v'al beisoi. He does the first vidui for himself and his family. V'achar shana sezakai v'vidui misvada olov v'al echov. After he achieves his own atonement, he then offers a confession for the rest of the kehanim. L'olam travayu chado kaporo ninu. And therefore, these two are really one type of atonement. The new perek begins, Yedios Atumo Shtayim Shein Arba. This term was already seen in the opening Mishnah of the Maseches. The examples of knowledge of Tuma are two, which actually become four. And the details of this were explained in the first Mishnah of the Maseches. The Mishnah here goes on with details describing different types of yedios, knowledges, and of course subsequent forgettings. And the Mishnah itself will be numbered off, which will give rise to several questions at the beginning of the Gemara on Amud Beis. So we continue, noting before we read in the Mishnah, we have a topic heading, the Nose, Helem Tumo Vehelem Kodesh U'Mikdosh. We'll be featuring issues of forgetting that which he knew. He may forget that he had been Tomei. He may forget that he was eating a korban, even though he knows he's Tomei, but he forgets that what he's eating right now is a korban. And likewise, he forgets maybe the mikdash. In other words, he's aware of his tuma, and when he walks into the Beis HaMikdash, at that point he forgets that it's the Beis HaMikdash and then recalls it later on. So our Mishnah indicates this through different examples. What we've done with our markings, we've treated the Mishnah with a Roman numeral number 1 and a subsequent Roman numeral number 2. The number 1 will be featuring in its examples the issue of Kodesh. Kodesh meaning korbonos. In order to be allowed to consume a sacrificial meat, one has to be tohar. The Roman numeral number 2 will feature in its examples the issue of the mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash. Once again, one has to be tohar and not tomei in order to enter the Beis HaMikdash. And if he enters and while entering he forgets that he's either that it's the Beis HaMikdash or that he's Tomei, that brings on the need for the Korban. Nitma, the second line of the Mishnah where the note Roman numeral 1 is posted, Nitma v'yoda, he became Tomei and knew, he was aware. V'nelmo mimenu hatuma v'zocher es hakodesh. And when he started eating the korban, he forgot that he was tomei, but was aware that he was eating a korban. Ne'elam mimenu hakodesh v'zocher es hatuma. A flip case would be where he forgot that what he was eating was a korban, but he was aware the entire time that he was tomei. In a third case, Nelmu mimenu ze veze, he was aware at the outset of his being tomei and that it was a korban he was about to eat, and then when he started eating, he forgot both points. V'ochal asakodesh v'lo yoda, and he ate the korban lacking knowledge of these elements. U'misha'ochal yoda, and when he finished eating, he then recounted. Harei ze be'oilu v'yoreid. All of these cases, if it happened, would generate the need for a fluctuating priced korban chatos. The second group of examples features the issue of the Beis HaMikdash. Nitmo v'yoda, he became tomei and was aware that he became tomei. V'nelmo mimenu tumo v'zochur es hamikdash. He then forgot that he was tomei, but was aware that what he was entering the Beis HaMikdash. Another case, ne'elam mimenu mikdash v'zochur es hatuma. He, though he knew that he had been tomei, he forgot that he was in this case, he forgot that it was the Beis HaMikdash, but he recounted the entire time that he was Tomei. Ne'elam mimenu zeh v'zeh, a third scenario where he forgot both elements, the fact that he was Tomei and that it was the Beis HaMikdash, v'nichnas l'mikdash v'lo yoda, and he entered the Beis HaMikdash without, with lacking awareness of his situation. U'mishiyotza yoda, and when he exited the Beis HaMikdash, he recounted. This too would generate, these two examples would also generate the need for a fluctuating price, hat korban chatos. Echad hanichnas la'azora ve'echad hanichnas l'teisefes la'azora. Whether one enters the original courtyard or one enters an expanded courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, there will be guilt if he enters in a state of tumah. And the significance of the expanded section of the Azara is so because in order to expand it, there are a number of key elements that are needed, otherwise it wouldn't be allowed to be extended. This indicates that the expansion area is as significant as the original area. She'ein moisifin al ho'ir, that's a reference to adding to Yerushalayim, which has bearing on the consumption of Meiser Sheni and Kochim Kalim, the ability to expand the city, the Al Ha'azoros, which is our topic, expanding the courtyard. These things cannot be expanded, Ella, and the Mishnah lists the necessary elements, the Melech, the king, the Novi, the Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, the Sanhedrin, Shel Shivim V'Echod, Ushte Toidois, two loaves of the Korban Toido, Ubashir, Ubezdin Mahalchin, Ushte Toidois Achrayim, V'chol Yisrael Achayre Achrayim. There's a procession that takes place that where they, the Bezdin and these two loaves of the Korban Toido and the Klal Yisrael are walking around the area that will be expanded. Hapnimis ne'echeles v'achitzoino nisrefes. We had this is a reference to the two loaves. The inner one is eaten and the outer one is burnt. V'chol shelo yinas is b'chol elu. If you have an area that was allegedly part of an expansion, but it wasn't done with these elements, with these items mentioned in the Mishnah, hanichlas l'sham ein chayav ola. One who would enter that area would not be guilty. Because if one expands the Azora without these elements, it wouldn't constitute a true and official expansion. Nitmo ba'azora. A person who was in the Azora became Tomei and was aware that he became Tomei. V'nelmo mimenu tuma v'zochur es hamikdash. And then he forgot that he was Tomei, but remembered that he was in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, he didn't forget that he was in the Beis HaMikdash. He simply forgot that he was Tomei. Or the other way around. Ne'elam himenu mikdash v'zochor hatuma. Ne'elam mimenu zeh v'zeh. Or he forgot both of the elements. And then what happened? When he forgot, in his state of forgetting, he bowed, or he tarried in the Azora, the amount of time that would take to prostrate oneself, or he exited the Beis HaMikdash through a long path. Namely, he took a route that there was a shorter route available. So any route that he took for which there is a shorter route, chayav. So any of these examples that we have listed here as 1, 2, and 3, he would be chayav a korban chatos. Biktsora poter. However, if he left using the shortest route, he would be exempt. Zuhi mitzvas asei sheba mikdash she'ein chayovin oleha. This is an example of a positive command based on the pasuk of vishalchu min amachane, etc., that there's a need to send out of the camp those who are tomei, And in this context, we're talking about sending out of the Azora someone who's Tamei, in the event that the Sanhedrin HaGadol made an erroneous ruling concerning this topic. The Mishnah says, "Ein chayavon aleh," the Sanhedrin would not be required to bring the par helam dovor, which is the characteristic korban when the Sanhedrin makes a mistake concerning topics that carry with it a chiyuv kores in general. This being an exception. The Eizo he mitzvah sase shebenido shechayovin olea, and in contrast to the topic of Tumas Mikdash that we were just talking about, there is another example in Halacha of a mitzvah sase, which also, if you use your imagination, also has to do with the realm of exiting. And that has to do with the realm of one who's conducting intimacy with his spouse while at the point that she becomes a nida, she experiences her period. There's a need for the man to exit that situation. And if in this kind of area the Sanhedrin errs in their ruling, they will be chayav to bring this special korban called the par helam dover shel tzibor. So the issue of the Mishnah right now is which mitzvah saseh of nida would generate, in the case that they, the Sanhedrin, make a mistake, would they need to bring a par helam? So the Mishnah explains, illustrates the situation. Hoya mishamesh im ha-tohira, a man was conducting intimacy with his wife, who he understood to be allowed because she was tohora, she was pure. The omra lo, and in the midst of their relations, she announces nitmesi upiresh miyad. She declares that she feels that the dam started to flow, and she says thusly. And then he exits immediately. Chayov, he will be, the husband will be guilty for having been boyol esanida. Mipnei she yitziyoso hanolo kibiyoso. Since he was piresh miyad, and he didn't wait for misas ha'aver, he experiences a sense of physical pleasure, and as a result of that, his exit is considered as if he were entering, and entering a nida is certainly chayav, and is also a realm in which the par helam dover would be generated if the Sanhedrin made a mistake concerning this area. As we go on in the Mishnah, we have some markings that appear as well, and these are explained in the outside margin. We have double underlines that feature certain names of Tanoim, and we have also them numbered 1 through 3 in diamonds. Before we go further, let's just read for introductory purposes a posuk that accompanies this section of the Mishnah, and we've included it in the inside margin, Vayikra Perikei Posuk Beis. Oy nefesh asher tiga b'chol dovor tomei, oy benivlas chaya tomeya, oy benivlas behemot tomeya, oy benivlas sheretz tomei, v'ne'elam v'hu tomei v'oshem. This posuk describes someone who had contact with different forms of tumah, and then forgot that he was Tomei. And as we know from the context, he then practiced something that is forbidden for a Tomei individual to engage in. The Mishnah goes on, Rabbi Elezer Omer, Hasheretz V'ne'elam Mimenu. As you can see, the Mishnah is quoting the Pasuk in a very abbreviated fashion, and he explains, Al Helem Sheretz Chayav, V'enu Chayav Al Helem Mikdash. According to Rabbi Eliezer, unlike what we've seen in the past, the necessity of bringing the Korban Chatas, the Oyla V'yore, the fluctuating price Korban Chatas, will come about only if the issue that he forgets is the Sheretz, is the source of Tuma, that he forgot that he touched the Sheretz. But if he forgets that he was in the Mikdash, if that's the point that he forgets, that's called Helam Mikdash, he will not be Chayav. In other words, if a person knew that he became Tomei by touching a Sheretz, and he was aware that he was about to enter the Beis HaMikdash, and as he entered the Beis HaMikdash, he forgot that it's the Beis HaMikdash, but he knew that he was Tomei, he would not be Chayev, the Chatas, Oiv of Yared, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva Omer, V'nela mimenu v'hu Tomei, al helem tumo Chayev, v'enu Chayev, al helem Mikdash. He is similar to Rabbi Eliezer in the sense that, and we've dashed underlined the expression Eino Chayev in order to make it easier to see this, that as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, if one forgets that it's the Beis HaMikdash, he would not be Chayev. The only type of forgetting that would generate the Chiyuv Korban, according to Rabbi Akiva, is forgetting that he was Tomei. Rabbi Eliezer emphasizes the forgetting of what the source of the Tumah was. We'll see in the Gemara the actual point of difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, as Rashi points out. Because in the meantime, they seem to be saying very similar points, that there's no chiyuv, there's no obligation as a result of forgetting the presence in the Beis HaMikdash. The only time there is a need for bringing the korban is when he forgets something that's tumah related. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he mentions helem sheretz, and according to Rabbi Akiva, he mentions helem tumah. Continuing, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, v'ne'elam shtei ta'omim. The pasuk uses the term v'ne'elam twice. Lechayev al helem tumah v'al helem mikdash. That the forgetting of either one of the elements can generate a chiyuv korban. At this point, the Gemara deals with the numbers that are mentioned in the Mishnah, and we have this as part of our title in the outside margin, the Nosei, Lomo Kotoni Shnayim Shein Arba Velo Sheish O Shmoina. Why does the Mishnah open up with the number 4? There's 2 which are 4, and doesn't say maybe 6 or 8. Omar Rav Papa Labaye, Shtayim Shehein Arba, Shtayim Shehein Sheish Havyon. There are 2 areas. We can refer to them as Tumah and Kodesh, which branch out into 6 areas. And the Gemara now elaborates. This all is part of a long question. How do you get to this 6? So here we go. Yedios Atuma Tchila Vesof. There's the awareness of his having been Tomei, and then forgetting the Tuma, and then becoming aware of that. So that's a Yediyah at the beginning and at the end. Yediyos HaKodesh, Tchila Vesof, where the element that he forgot is that he's eating a korban, but he was aware before and became aware afterwards. So that's another 2 forms of Yediyah. Yediyos Mikdash, Tchila Vesof. That's an additional 2 areas of Yediyah. So you see from here, as Rav Papa suggests, that you could have said Shtayim Shem Sheish. So now Abaye responds, Uletameich, according to you, why don't you ask about 8? Uletameich Tamni Havyon. According to you, you actually can come out to 8. To Iko Tumah deKodesh, the Tumah deMikdash, Tchila Vesof. That when you're dealing with Korbanos, you have the Yediyah of his being Tomei, and then forgetting that he's Tomei, and you have the Yediyah that he's eating a korban, and then remembering afterwards that he ate a korban. That's 4 Yediyahs right there. And likewise, you have with regard to the Beis HaMikdash, you have his knowledge that he was Tomei before he entered the Beis HaMikdash, and his recounting that he was Tomei afterwards. In other words, when he entered, he forgot that he was Tomei, and then upon exiting the Beis HaMikdash, he recounted he was Tomei, and his knowing that it's the Beis HaMikdash, and forgetting the Beis HaMikdash, and then recounting that point later on. That would be a total of 8 Yediyos. So as far as that is concerned, Ho Loi Kashya. To add an additional 2, in other words, from 6 to go to 8, by saying that there are two more examples of tumah, that is not necessary to raise as an objection. Shein tumah achas hi. The heading of tumah is one. In other words, whether it be tumah in the context of eating a korban or tumah in the context of entering the Beis HaMikdash, they all fall under the same heading, namely knowledge of tumah. Mikol mokom shis havyon, but as Rav Papa opened up, there still is a need to account for six yedios. Omar Rav Papa. So it's interesting to know structurally, Rav Papa is the one that raised the question, and he also answers. We have also a note at the side, a structural note, because we're encountering a new geometric form. We have a house form. This represents, as we have indicated on the side, the Mivneh, where the house is featured with a Roman numeral 1 and 2. Shtei Lishonos Shel Rav Papa, the Hezber Haminyan Arba. Two Lishonos, two versions of Rav Papa to explain the use of the number 4 in the Mishnah. Omar Rav Papa, Li'olam Tamni Havyan. We're going to stick with the number 8 as a jumping off point. However, as far as the numbering is concerned in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah opens up and says Shtayim Shehein Arba, Arboi Komaisa, the first stages of Hidia, the Lo Maison Le Lidei Korban, that are not responsible for his bringing the korban. In other words, just having a knowledge at the beginning is insufficient. There is a need to have knowledge at the end as well. So the knowledge at the beginning, is insufficient for generating the need for a korban, lo kachoshiv, that's not accounted for. Arba'a basraiso, the maison le lidei korban, the recalling afterwards, the second yedias that do obligate him to bring the korban, kachoshiv, those are the ones that are accounted for. So, just to review, you have his rediscovering his either that he was eating a korban or that he had been tameh, and likewise you have his rediscovering that it was the Beis HaMikdash that he was in, or his rediscovering that he had been tameh when he entered the Beis HaMikdash. The Ikar D'Amri, Omar Rav Papa, now a second version of Rav Papa, Li'olam Tamni Havyon, once again, we're going to use as our jumping off point the 8 yedios. However, the arba kamaisa the lesnu b'cholatoro kula kochoshiv. In this lashon, the first 4 yedios, which are uncharacteristic of the rest of the Torah. For example, in the rest of the Torah, when we talk about someone needing to bring a korban chatas, let us use as an example, he consumed chelev, a forbidden part of an animal. That is a type of action, the eating of chelev, or the eating of dam, the eating of blood. Those are things that if done unwittingly, obligate a person to bring a korban chatas. In those cases, as well as all other cases of chiyuv kores, when done b'shogeg, they bring a korban chatas, there's no need to have knowledge beforehand. There's no need to have been aware beforehand that he was about to eat chelev and then forgot and then recounted later. It's sufficient if he ate something that he thought all along was acceptable, and then after he ate it, he was informed that what he ate was chelev, or he then discovered that what he ate was chelev, without any prior knowledge. That's sufficient for generating the need of a korban. However, in the realm of Tumas Mikdash Vikadoshav, the post-knowledge itself is insufficient. You have to have a yediyah kamaisa. You have to have a yediyah at the outset. And therefore, since the original yediyahs, the original knowledge, is unique to this realm, that is what the Mishnah wants to take accounting of. And that's what's meant by this phrase, arboi kamaisa, the lesnu b'cholatara kula, kachoshiv. Those are the ones that are deliberately enumerated here. or that are made reference to in the phrase Shtayim Shein Arba. However, Arboi Vasraiso Ti Isnu B'chola Torah Kula, the four examples of awareness that are characteristic of any other Torah offense, Lo Kachoshev, they are not highlighted over here. At the in the margin, the outside margin, we have a topic heading with a structural note featuring these triangles with colored in tips. Bo'i is what's featured. She'elois be'inyan ma mugder kehelem v'yedia. We're going to have some questions of clarification. What is characterized as knowledge and forgetting? Bo'i rapapa. Ne'elmu mimenu hilchis tuma mahu. If one forgot the laws of Tuma, what would the din be with regard to the need to bring a korban chatos oylevioi? Hey chidami, what are the circumstances behind Rav Papa's question? Ilema delo yoda isheretz tome itzvardeya tome. If you're talking about someone, if you're asking about someone who was not aware whether a sheretz is tome or whether a frog is tome. In other words, he doesn't know the distinctions between tzfardea and a choled or an achbar, which are examples of things in the Torah that are tome. A dead tzav or lita are metame, whereas a dead tzfardea is not metame. Now, and he doesn't. He's not aware. Rashi's example is, he thinks that just like a tzfardea is not mitame, a tzav and lita would not mitame when in fact they are. Well, if that is Rav Papa's question, it's no question. Zil kri be ravhu. It's something that any child discovers simply by reading the psukim. And by reading the psukim, the examples that we cited above, he will discover are tome, the tzav, the lito, the choyle, the achbor, all of these are featured in the posuk described that mentions the shrotzim that are mitame. And as a result of the fact that it's the knowledge of that is available simply by reading psukim, and every child is expected to be familiar with that, therefore that is considered an automatic yediyah. And therefore, if let us look at Rashi, Ziu Kribe Ravu, Tinoikas Shelbeis Rabon Kurin, the children who go to school read Hacholed Voachbor Vatsov, those are in the Posuk, those are examples of things that are Matame, Hilkoch Ein Zu Ha'aloma, that's not considered if someone claimed that he was not aware of the distinction between a Tzvardea and a Choled, that wouldn't be considered lacking knowledge, because the knowledge is a given that people do know the difference, v'yesh kan yedi b'tchila, and therefore, if a person, let us say, he happened to have contact with a dead choled or a dead achbor, which are creatures that are classified as shrotzim that are metamin, and he had contact with a dead achbor, ukshachas a kodesh nelmo mimenu negiya rishon, and when he ate a korban, when he ate a piece of sacrificial meat, he forgot that he had contact with that achbor. Yesh kan yediyah b'tchila. Whether or not he was aware of how to categorize an achbor is irrelevant. He is considered as automatically having had a yediyah. V'helem achrea, and then when he forgot that he was eating a korb, when he forgot that he had touched the achbor, that would constitute the forgetting. Ukshivada lo basof, and when he recounts that he touched the achbor, yehei chayov, he will be obligated to bring the oylevioreid chatos. The Gemara goes on and says, li'olam diyoda betumas sheretz. The question that Rav Papa is asking concerns a person that is fully aware of the shrotzim that are metame. Ukigon de noga bechadosha, velo yoda keadoshi metama I loi. Mai. We're talking about someone that touched a an adosha size of dead sheretz. Imagine a little piece of sheretz meat, the size of an adosha, sometimes translated as a lentil. However, it's a rather small piece of sheretz flesh. And this fellow did not know what we know, that a sheretz is metame b'chadosha. He didn't know whether that size, that quantity, creates tumah or not. So regarding that, Rav Papa raises his question, my. And now the two sides of his question are presented. Aleph, kevan diyoda de metame sheretz ba'olam, yidiyahi. Maybe by the fact that he knew that shrotzim are metame, he is considered as having had a yediyah betchila oidama. Kevon the adosh shelo yoda imetame ilo metame. On the other hand, since he didn't know the issue concerning the quantity or the size of sheretz, which is metame, haloma he. Maybe that's considered a haloma, and therefore he is not someone that had a yediyah betchila at all. Teku. That remains unresolved. Boy, Rav Yirmiya. But now, Rav Yirmiya raises a question concerning the Beis HaMikdash. Up till now, the first question that we saw, namely Rav Papa's question, revolved around the Sheretz. Here, it revolves around the Beis HaMikdash. We also might want to take note of another marking that we didn't mention, the double underline with the dots in it, and we feature that on the side. The first question we already read, and that number one was lo yoda. We have this indicated on the outside margin. The number one is lo yoda ke adosha I metame ilo, and number two, the question now is a case of ben bovel, someone who came from outside Eretz Yisrael, shene'elam mimenu mokoi mikdash, that he was not known to him the location of the Beis HaMikdash. Boy, Rav Yirmi, we turn to the Gemara. Ben Bovel Sha'ol Eretz Yisrael. V'ne'elam mimenu mokoim mikdash mahu. And he was unaware of the location of the Beis HaMikdash. What is his din with regard to the bringing of a Chatas Oylev Yorei? Before we can answer the question, we want to know according to which Tana is Rabbi Yirmiya raising his question. Because regarding this topic of Helam Mikdash, that might be a non-starter. Aliba deman, I aliba de Rabbi Kiva, the boy Yediya Betchila, Holo Mechayav al Helam Mikdash. According to Rabbi Kiva, that does require an initial knowledge in order to obligate one to bring this fluctuating price Korban Chatas. Nevertheless, he does not consider the forgetting of the Beis HaMikdash an issue that would generate a Korban in the first place. So if you have someone that's like Rav Yirmi described in his question, we can tell you straight out that according to Rabbi Kiva there would be no need to bring a Korban, because his area of knowledge and subsequent forgetting revolves around the Beis HaMikdash, and on Hel HaMikdash there's no obligation to bring a korban chatos or leviyore. E aliba de Rabbi Shmuel, and if Rav Yirmiya's question is based on Rabbi Shmuel, the mechayev al Hel HaMikdash, Rabbi Shmuel, who we saw in the Mishnah, does say that Hel HaMikdash is a reason for bringing a korban, but ha lo bo yediyah betchila. For him, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is no need to have knowledge at the outset in order to generate such a korban. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yirmiya, or in other words, Rabbi Yirmiya's question would not be asked within Rabbi Yishmuel. Of course, what Rabbi Yirmiya is trying to determine is what is the status of someone that at the outset, he comes from Bavel, and at the outset he has no knowledge of the Mokom HaMikdash. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, the issue of no knowledge at the outset is a non-issue to begin with. Lo Tzricha, the question of Rabbi Yirmiya is necessary to be asked, Alibo de Rebbe, de boy Yediya Betchila. He, on the one hand, requires a Yediya at the outset, and additionally, or on the other hand, he also is Umechayev Al Helam Mikdash. In other words, that distinction that we made that was made between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi, there's no distinction. You need both. You need to have knowledge at the outset, and also if one forgets an issue revolving around the Beis HaMikdash, he would be obligated to bring a korban. V'omar, yediyas beis raboi shmo yediya. And another point is that that which one learned about as a student, that's called yediyas beis rabo, that's considered having a yediya, even if right now he is he's unaware. The fact that he learned about something, that's considered a yediya. Now, taking all of these factors into consideration, the question is, my kevan diyoda diiko mikdash ba'olam, since he knew, he had learned about the fact that there is a Beis HaMikdash, yediya hi, that would constitute a yediya b'tchila. And therefore, if he, this kind of person who came from Bavel, entered the Beis HaMikdash, even though he was unaware of its specific location, but since he knew that there was a Beis HaMikdash, that is sufficient to categorize him as a yediya b'tchila. And then, let us say, he then entered the Beis HaMikdash and forgot that he was Tomei, and then exited and discovered that he had, and then recounted that he had been Tomei, he would be obligated, because he had a yediya b'tchila. Oy dilma, kevan demekoimo lo yodalei. On the other hand, since he, this person, was never aware of its specific location, he would be considered as having had no yediyah b'tchila. And that's, we'll read that again. Kivan demekomo lo yoda le, since he never knew about it. Ha'aloma hi. Ha'aloma means that he never had knowledge at the outset and would not be obligated to bring a korban. Teku. This too remains unresolved. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.